Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you are welcome to do that. We've got one line open, 844-707-5533. The Dow's turning around a little bit. So remember I told you we got ISM non-manufacturing service sector jobs. That was for the month of November, the number I gave you, and it was down slightly. Then we got the December number just coming out. February number. The first one was January. This is February, 59.7. This is the service sector area. This is the largest sector of our economy. That is a dramatic increase, by the way, very big increase and beat any expectations for the month of February. We also got new home sales out for December. It was up 3.7%. over November. But November, the reason it was up 3.7% over November is because November was revised downward big, really big. So it looks like December was a great number. It really wasn't that great when you look at the issues in November. So anyway, that's where we are. It's good to see the non-manufacturing sector. Not so great for the month of December. Month of January, much better. So that's good news when we see that. That is a very important part of the economy, by the way. I'm not sure you realize that I have talked about this a number of times, but nonetheless, this is an important number since it is a number that is the largest sector of our economy, service sector. This is a big part of the economy, so therefore, it's a very, very important number. Folks, if you didn't hear me in the first hour, obviously, I just want to mention, with all the tornadoes and what's happened over the weekend and 23 lives lost, it is just one of the deadliest spell of tornadoes in recent history. And Alabama just got clobbered in Lee County. And Samaritan's Purse is geared, they're already there, but they need help. They need volunteers. They need financial help and so on and so forth. They are in Lee County. Lee County, Alabama, was where the loss of life was the greatest. The home devastation was the greatest. That went on there was unbelievable. And they are there on the ground. If you can help, if you want to help, if you will help, would you call Samaritan's Purse, 800-567-8183. That is Samaritan's Purse. And it's 800-567-8183. You can go to Samaritan's Purse, samaritanspurse.org, to get a hold of them to find out how you can help. We hope you will do that. They're going to be there for a long time, folks. I don't know if you saw the pictures, but they're going to be there for a while. And I'm sure they will expand out beyond Lee County as well. So they'll be there for a while. But if you can help in any way, I hope you will. My wife and I have been on several of these disaster relief trips. My wife a lot more than I have. And it is an amazing work that they do. And they share the gospel, they pray, and they repair. So it is a great work. I hope you can go. And you can go to samaritanspurse.org or call 800-567-8183. Hope you'll do that. All right. Markets right now, as we look at them this morning, changing up a little bit. That's odd. Why is that doing this? And I don't know. Let's see if I can get another source here. I'm not sure what's going on, but not getting there. You go. The Dow is in negative territory. It was just up. It has dropped down a little bit. The NASDAQ looks like it's moving a little bit closer to positive territory. It is barely down. It's flatlined. S&P flatlined. And really, for all practical purposes, the Dow is flat. So not a lot of movement, not a lot of things going on right now in the markets. What is going on is slightly negative. We'll see. Apparently, the optimism around trade is waning a bit. I don't know why. Who knows why? It was great yesterday morning. Then they said it drifted off through the rest of the day. No rhyme or reason. I know in Asia and China, the optimism is still very strong about trade. And that's good news. Still very strong over there. And we'll see. But, you know, the Wall Street Journal still reporting, and they reported on Sunday, that it looks like March 27th, they're going to have a trade deal. It's going to be the beginning of a trade deal. China's already announced no tariffs on agricultural products coming out of the U.S. None. So that's very good for our farmers, obviously. And now we got to work out some details about a lot of other things. And my hope is that the negotiating team in the United States of America can pivot very quickly. Let's sign this deal and pivot as quickly as they can to the Eurozone. Let's get that worked out. That's not going to be hard to work out. We're going to be able to work that out very, very quickly. The question is, can the Commerce Department and the negotiating team, the Secretary of Treasury, can they move quick enough? Can they do something in a hurry? Can they keep the momentum going immediately? First of all, they could have been juggling this ball all along, but they can only juggle one ball at a time. That's why I said go to the Eurozone, then get that, and then go to Japan. They can't do these together. Apparently, they don't have those capabilities. We shouldn't be surprised. But hopefully they'll pivot away from China very quickly and head to the Eurozone, get a deal. Eurozone desperately needs it. I want to see them get this deal done, and hopefully they will. So we have our Ag Report coming up. Craig Haugert doing a great job, and hopefully he is helping you decide where to plant, what to plant, and how to plant, and these tariffs getting released has got to help. Here's Craig Haugert. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn market bounced slightly as renewed buying interest surfaced on Monday. That interest is also reflected in the weekly export inspections, which came in at 34.1 million bushels. It was towards the top end of the range of trade expectations, as well as being 4 million bushels stronger than last week's numbers. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are having a little bit of a follow-through as they're trading a penny higher. News that President Trump and the Chinese president are expected to meet on March 27th in hopes of finalizing a resolution to the current trade situation got the soybean market off to a strong start on Monday. As the day wore on, they seemed to lose some of their luster late in the session, although beans did manage to close higher. Weekly export inspections were disappointing at 31 million bushels. We now need to average 5.4 million a week to achieve the USDA's annual export projection. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up 2 cents as I record this. The wheat market faltered on technical selling and ample global wheat supplies. The U.S. continues to see stiff competition in the world wheat export arena. This was reflected in the weekly export inspections numbers, which came in at 16.2 million bushels. That was below trade expectations and leaves us needing to average 29 million bushels per week for the rest of the marketing year to hit the USDA's export numbers. The odds of that happening probably falls into the slim to none category. In the overnight trade, Chicago is a penny higher, while Kansas City is up 3 and Minneapolis is trading unchanged. Cotton futures had a down session as the May futures ended down 72 points to close at 73.13. Livestock futures had a split session with cattle lower and hogs higher. For the day, April live cattle were $1.20 lower, while April feeder cattle closed 2.5 cents lower for the session. April lean hogs had a stronger close as they closed up 92.5 cents for the day. Class 3 milk futures suffered their second consecutive losing session as April futures were down 13 points to settle at $15 even. In the overnight trade, Class 3 spot milk futures are trading down an additional 4 points. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were $2.26 higher at $223.55, while selects were up 42 cents to settle at $217.21. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed a buck and a penny higher for the day, settling at $62.93. Well, this has been Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more Financial Issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you can cue your call up, you're welcome to do it. We have lines open. We are going to go to phones. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Keith. Keith calling us from Kentucky. Hey, Keith.
Hey, Dan. Love your show. Try to listen to it every morning.
Thank you.
You commented, my wife and I, we've been growth investors for years. We're both 63 years of age, probably looking to work another year or two, something like that.
Yes.
We both contribute to our Roth. She still contributes to her 403B. I've retired and rolled my 401K into a personal IRA. And I heard you talk about, you know, when you're getting close to retirement, to start taking the dividends. We've always rolled the dividends back into the stocks.
Yes.
So you had made mention of possibly, how would you go about doing that? Putting it in, having that check come directly to us once we've retired, or I heard you mention putting it into a money market, and then if you want to invest it in some of the stocks, you recommend going that way. I'd kind of like you expand on that a little bit.
Sure. So if you roll it over, if you don't let it reinvest, then it automatically goes into the money market account inside your account.
Okay.
So that's where it ends up. You can then, if you are still a growth investor, you can start, you know, reinvesting it into maybe one or two of the stocks. It might be down or buy another stock, and that's fine. But I think at some point in time, you need to have that money coming to you and have your money in a place that is much more focused on being a, you know, preservation. It's a little bit more conservative, not quite as aggressive as it might be now. I don't know where it is, but it's not growth oriented anymore. You're much more of taking a preservation of principle mindset. So you're going to have things like utility stocks and, you know, large cap growth and income stocks, dividend producing stocks. I mean, they're the things that you want to focus on, not today, but certainly as you come closer to ending that accumulation phase of your 401k where you're still working, then you've got to start thinking, okay, I want to preserve what I have, because now I'm not going to get the advantage, obviously, of that accumulation coming out of my paycheck. So that's what everybody needs to do. That's what everybody needs to do. If you are living off of that money, not living off it, but if that money is supplementing your income, so now you're collecting Social Security, maybe you're getting a little pension or something somewhere else, and you want to start, and you need a little bit more, and you want to start taking it out of that account, which is a good thing to do, then you want ideally to be drawing out what it's producing. So if you've got an average annual yield on your account of 5%, then you might want to start drawing that 5% out on a monthly basis, just so that you have that consistent income that is coming out every month, helping you to supplement your income. So,
and you would just have that go into your banking account?
Yes. You could have that directly going to, you know, a direct deposit right into your checking account. Now, okay. You know, of course, that you have to pay tax on that money because that's right. Coming out of a traditional IRA. So you'll have to pay tax, but that's okay. That's why you have it there, so that you can supplement your income, and that's what you should be doing.
Now, once you've retired, of course, you've got, you know, we have both have pensions. We'll both have Social Security. Does that affect, it doesn't affect how much Social Security you get, but isn't there a threshold when you start bringing that money in, they start taxing your Social Security because you reached a threshold? How's that going to affect your Social Security?
Yeah, it depends on where you are with
retired.
Yeah, right. It depends on where you are with your income, of course. So, yes, it will impact that threshold that you'll have, which this year, I'm not sure what it is. It was changed. But what it does is it could make some of your Social Security taxable.
Okay.
So that's what you have to look at.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a great answer, and listen to you every day, and bless you. Keep up the good work.
I'll do it. Thank you, Keith. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, 844-707-5533. Man, I don't know. This third hour is going to be rough when we get to that. All right, 844-707-5533. Let me go to David. David's calling us from Tennessee. Hey, David.
Hey, sir. Hey, I like your new infomercial for financial issues. I appreciate how you expand on the Bible. But I had a quick question for you. I'm almost debt-free. Both my kids are gone now. I'm currently a retired military with working for the as a GS, and so I have the TSP.
Yes.
And if you partner in financial issues, do you update the allocation or what we should be allotted or allocating, I guess, to our thrift savings plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I have a TSP set of asset allocation models, and so. If you're going to stay in the TSP, I have that. Now, I always recommend to anybody leaving their employment, either TSP or otherwise, to roll their money into an IRA account. The reason why I do that, David, is because I want you to have options. I don't want you to have any limitations. So if you say, hey, you know what, things are really getting bad, I got to protect my money, and you want to put it all in CDs, you can do it. If you want to be aggressive, you can do it. If you want to buy bonds, if you want to buy stocks, you want to buy mutual funds, whatever you want to do, you need to have all those options open to you, because really diversification to me is one of the most important things that we do as investors, to really make sure we got a good diversification. But when you retire, it's so much more important. I mean, it's really important because it minimizes the losses. You know, it's going to minimize your losses in the downside, and it's going to help you grow on the upside. So you really want to be well diversified, and it's hard to do within certain TSPs or an old 401k from a job where you don't have all the options that you can use.
Right, but you wouldn't do that until I actually retire, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Okay. I would not do that until you retire. In the meantime, I just follow my TSP program.
Right, so stay in TSP and contribute the max and then invest in whatever other ways are on your website?
You got it. Yep.
Okay, but not until I'm debt-free, right?
Yeah, work on that. Get that done, definitely.
I'm close.
Oh, good, man. Good deal.
All right,
David.
Brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless. Good stuff. 844-707-5533. Let's see. Let me go to Mark in Tennessee. Hey, Mark. Oh, I got two Marks up here. Where am I? Mark at Oklahoma. Okay. Go ahead, Mark.
Dan, can you hear me?
Yes, gotcha.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm the Mark in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Looking forward to meeting you Thursday night. We're just a couple, 3 miles from Paul's Church.
Oh, so. Great. How about it? Good, good.
So my question is, we've been a partner for a couple of years, and I've worked to get my investments in line with your allocation model. My question is, when it's time to purchase, and I have more money every monthly or quarterly or whenever I want to invest again,
sure.
Do you recommend buying something from each sector? Because obviously every time I purchase, well, it throws the percentages out again if I just buy from one sector.
Right.
But if I buy from every sector, I only get a handful of shares from each sector. So I'm curious what your strategy is.
Yeah, I would rotate your sectors. So I would just do one sector. So you're going to go in one sector. I don't want to say don't pay attention to your asset allocation model, but it's likely to throw that sector you just invested in, might throw that off a little bit, you know, until you get through again the rest of the sectors. So I wouldn't worry too much about that, but that's how you would do it. So maybe you have the industrial sectors this quarter, next quarter you have, you know, consumer staples or whatever it is. And just
work your way around the pie.
Yep.
Terrific. Well, that's what I needed to know. I sure appreciate it. And like I say, look forward to meeting you face-to-face Thursday.
I look forward to it, and I'm glad you're going to be there. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let me go to the other Mark. Mark in Tennessee. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. Hope you're feeling better quickly.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm with a major financial institution, helps me with financial planning and investing, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And I've been there about 12 years. I asked for what the life-to-date return has been over that 12-year period, and it's been less than 4%.
Okay.
And I want to ask you, and it's been under a moderate aggressive strategy. We're in our mid-50s, and so we started when we were in our mid-40s. What is the wisdom of that approach as opposed to me just saying, no, let me do it on my own and follow Dan's models and go that approach. We have five accounts, actually, two Roth accounts, one for my wife, one for me, two traditional IRAs, one for my wife and me, and then a non-qualified account. So what are your thoughts on what I should do to improve that going?
I mean, I think you probably ought to change that up. Something's wrong. Obviously, you've had some bad years, you know, which everybody does, and that's to be expected. But I think whatever their approach they're taking, it's probably mostly mutual funds, I suspect.
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it would be, there'd be more wisdom in looking at a much greater diversification with a greater opportunity for gain. Does that mean you have greater opportunities for losses? Yes, it does. But again, if you're looking at a 12-year cycle, 10-year cycle, I think there would be wisdom in you changing that, following along our strategy.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Mark, God bless you. I appreciate it. Folks, we'll be right back after this. So what does the Bible say about the Antichrist? You know? I mean, do you know what it, not just what the Bible says, what it says all through Scripture, there are forms and of the Antichrist and what that Antichrist is going to be like. Will he be a Muslim? Some would say yes. Will he be a Jew? Will he be a Christian? Will he be a atheist? Will he be a Democrat or no? I'm just kidding about that. But what will he be? Will the Antichrist work through the modern technologies of that time? Do you think the Antichrist is going to work through that? I do, especially after I read a book called Decoding the Antichrist. Decoding the Antichrist. I've been talking about this every day, folks. You've heard me say that. And we've got with us Pastor Mark Belts, who wrote the book. It's an incredible book. I hope by now all of you have gotten it. Today is the day. So a lot of you have probably pre-ordered it. Well, today's the day the order is going to get filled, and you're going to have that book here hopefully by the weekend. And so now's the day. You can go to Amazon. You can go to decodingtheantichrist.com and order that book. I hope you will. My wife is reading it now. It is a great book, but I love the approach that Pastor Mark takes. Great stuff, Pastor. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you so much, Dan. It's great being on your program.
You know, one of the things that if the people are thinking about, well, I'm going to read this book, how is decoding the Antichrist, how's that going to help the reader? What is that going to do for the reader? How is that going to help the reader kind of think through what this might look like?
Well, I think one of the most important things that I do in the book is I profile what the Antichrist system is going to be like, as well as the supreme Antichrist will be like. Rather than trying to figure out who the Antichrist is, I felt it of utmost importance to be able to profile so we know where we're at historically.
Well, I love that profiling because that's what we need. You know, how do we profile? There's so many images given to us in Scripture of what the Antichrist would be like. So to be able to walk through the profiling of that is great. It's great to be able to do that. And when we think of what China is doing, I wonder if people realize that China is working on a credit score-like thing that is really going to be a moral score. You're going to get a score on your morality as your morality is seen in the eyes of communist regime. Tell us.
Yeah, that's so important to understand.
Yeah, it is. And that's also important for us to realize that is that the beginning?
Well, what's amazing is who gets to decide what is moral. When they find building a wall on our southern border is immoral, but killing a baby, you know, or infanticide is not moral, who do we want to be the one deciding what is moral?
Well, yeah. Do we want politicians telling us that? I don't think so. I think
definitely not.
You know, you and I were talking there a little bit at the break about what has just come out about artificial intelligence. And they're trying to factor in morality, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. All your listeners are aware that they already have these driverless cars or cars that operate, you know, by a computer or artificial intelligence. Well, what they've done, they've realized they needed to give it a moral ability. So if a deer runs across the road in front of your car and there's no driver, the computer has to know, does it hit the deer or does it swerve over and run over pedestrians? And so they're trying to give it a moral ability to decide. But what is horrible, I've also read another article where people's Alexa or Siri's they have in their home, which is always listening, they're going to create a moral police. So if you happen to just make the comment, you better go to bed or I'll spank you, then all of a sudden Siri will call the police or 911 on you. And all of a sudden the police will arrive at your door because they think you're doing something immoral.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it is just amazing. And you go through in the book, DecodingTheAntichrist.com, folks, DecodingTheAntichrist.com, or go to Amazon. Go today to Amazon and order the book. It's a great read, and it gives you what Pastor Mark just talked about. It gives you that profiling that he does through the Word of God. This was done through Scripture, and it gives us a picture of not only the Antichrist, but the systems. And that's what we've been talking about a little bit, haven't we?
Oh, definitely. And the thing that one of the latest news articles I've read that people can search the internet and find for themselves is now they've come out with artificial intelligent brain implants where now you can think thoughts and you can type. They're going to hook it up to the internet. And people, I'm telling you, Dan, they're going to race to have this. What parent doesn't want their child to be number one or at the top of their class?
Right.
And they say, all you have to do is think, I wonder what the French word is for this. And all of a sudden, Wikipedia will put the thought in your mind because you have in your brain a chip that interfaces with the internet. And so here, they're already getting ready to have brain implants. So people, I think, are going to be running to this technology.
So what does the mark of the beast look like then? Does it look like a chip in your brain? It could, right?
Well, it very well could be a chip implant. And that's why I think we are so close. And for me, the millennials, all the grandparents out there, all the parents out there that are concerned about that millennial generation up to like 32 years old, we need to reach them right away with this information. And I'm finding slowly they're beginning to understand the dangers of this.
Wow. I got three guys here right now, millennials. You guys all listening to that? I mean, it is really, really scary when we think of how far it has come. And, you know, one of the points that you make is that people aren't, they're so careful not to debate and to spend a whole lot of time arguing with other Christians about the details that they, you know, that about the Antichrist and the details of Scripture and those kinds of things, instead of doing something worthwhile for the kingdom. And it is going to be so difficult for us to put a chip implant in your brain in the context of Scripture and what God would have and what that might mean for us, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, in this YouTube video I saw where they were talking about this brain chip implant, they don't really want to drill holes in people's heads to do this. So they're talking about being able to swallow something that will end up implanting itself in your brain.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, this is crazy, you know, when we think about it. And so I don't want to give away any ending of the book or a summarization of a conclusion, but what are some of the things that people will, practical things that people will begin to come to an understanding of from reading Decoding the Antichrist?
Well, I think people need to realize the Antichrist is not going to come with horns and a pitchfork. I really believe what's going to be so deceptive is he very well could be a professing Christian. And this is based on scriptures. And I think he's going to be someone who is very famous, who's very wealthy, who is very powerful, and people are going to trust him. Because King Solomon really was a type of Antichrist, not Christ. He was very religious. But at the same time, when you profile Solomon, and I have all the scriptures detailing this, how, you know, here he was supposedly so wise, but guess what? So was the serpent.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. And that's what this, you know, this book, folks, is going to help you come to the realization of some of those things. I thought some of the insights on Solomon were So I was thinking of people. I was thinking about, as you said, someone's going to be famous. I was thinking in my mind of some of the famous people that would maybe fit the bill for that. And, you know, we're seeing that now. We're seeing that now that as we idolize those people that expound upon the ideology that we want, whether it's socialism, Marxism, communism, whatever it might be, but are expounding upon the very things that we want and how they so quickly can come to fame.
Right. And what's amazing is how two people can look at the same thing and have completely different views.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
To me, it's so important to like see, know your wife's perspective or the wife to know the husband's perspective.
Yeah.
So this is why I also cover the Jewish view of end times, the Islamic view of end times, so we can get a better understanding of where they're coming from.
Yes. Folks, Decoding the Antichrist, it is released today. I know a lot of you have already ordered it and are waiting for it. Well, today it's out. It's going to get shipped out, but go to Amazon.com, Decoding the Antichrist. That's, you know, and the end times, but Decoding the Antichrist, or go to DecodingTheAntichrist.com. Pastor Mark, thank you so much for being with us, man. Great book. We are grateful that God raised you up to write it and give us some insights. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Dan.
All right. God bless.
Bless you.
Folks, right now, Amazon.com, Decoding the Antichrist. We'll be right back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. Let's get to phones, 844-707-5533. I hope you're going to get that book, folks. It's really a great read. I know you're going to love it. It's going to give you some great insights. A lot of great conversation with your friends, people at church. Decoding the Antichrist. And you can go to Amazon and get it. And I hope if you're using Amazon, you've gone to my website and you clicked on to open that Smile account. You don't have to do anything. It just kind of, I don't know what it does. It switches your Amazon account over so that the Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries gets a, it's, you know, it's only pennies, but they add up of everything you purchase through Amazon. It's a great, great way to support the ministry. So I hope you'll think about that. All right, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Miles. Miles calling us from Florida. Hey, Miles.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm a new partner, and I've also pre-ordered the book, Decoding the Antichrist.
Oh, great. Great. Good deal.
I recently went to, I'm in a retirement community. It's the number one in the U.S. These people are pretty well off. We have a monthly meeting for stocks, and they were saying that Europe, China, and possibly us for a recession as far as $11 trillion worth of bonds that are being traded and the bubble in the United States of a $3 trillion corporate bond bubble. I just want to see what, you know, I should be investing in, or should I, you know.
Well, Miles, if I, you probably haven't been listening too long, but for about 2 years, I have not been a fan of bonds. I have been saying that for probably longer than 2 years, probably more like 4 years. I lose track of time. But bonds have been totally off my radar screen. I've been okay somewhat with some individual bonds. Bond mutual funds are the ones that are going to take the biggest hit. If there's a problem, they're just going to get clobbered. So I've asked people, stay away from bond mutual funds, a short-term, mid-term government bond fund, maybe inflation-protected government bond fund. That's about it. Other than that, you shouldn't have any, in my opinion. Because what we have to understand what bond funds have are about right now. So bonds are a printing press for money. I mean, that's what they are. They're the non-government way of printing money. And that's what they're for. Well, the problem is now, so many of these bonds are junk. So many of them are just financing debt on bonds that have already been issued. It's one of my issues with municipal bonds. You get municipal bonds, and you'll remember this, Miles, but years ago, you could invest in municipal bonds, and you were investing in building a hospital or a sewage treatment plant or a school. You were investing in hard assets. They were using that money to build, to mortgage the bridge or whatever it was, but there were hard assets. Well, now it's not that at all, because all of the hard assets that have been financed, they don't have enough money to pay the interest on that. So now they issue more bonds so that they can pay the interest to the people that bought the last bonds. And they will do the same for the bondholders that buy these bonds. I mean, it's on and on it goes. It is the numbers you gave are really low. So what as bad as you think that is, it's far worse than that. So I get my information. What I use is a place called the International Bank of Settlements. It's a European private bank that settles bond transactions, and it also settles all the derivatives and credit default swaps that are out there. And it's really the only accurate place you can go to look at the global debt on some of these bonds. So having said all that, all that to say, I agree with you 100%. It's a concern. Now, where can you go? I haven't been going to any bonds. I would rather, so there are financial people out there that are telling you that the cash equivalent, it's either cash or it's bonds. Well, they're living like 20 years ago. I used to be, you know, I was one of them. I was, you know, I was managing a very large trust company at the time, my own trust company, before I sold it. And, of course, we knew that, yes, bonds is somewhat of a cash equivalent. There was some safety in bonds. Those days have long been gone. And so I would say if you are looking for a place for preservation, you can only be in things that are sovereign government backed. Well, what happens when the government collapses? They're going to collapse too. You're not going to have anything. But you get to a place where you got to say, okay, what is, you know, the least risky? It's all going to have risk right now. Everything's going to have risk. But I wouldn't be buying bonds unless they were short-term individual bonds that were, you know, A-rated or better, maybe triple B, but triple B or better, that you actually own the individual bond. I have been telling people for the last 4 years, get out of your bond mutual funds. You shouldn't have any. Look, first of all, you're going to do better in large cap stocks than you're going to do in those bond mutual funds, and you're still going to get a little bit of a return. So I've been sour bonds for a really long time. I would be very, very cautious about investing in any of those things that they peg as an equivalent or safety. You know, the insurance annuities, you know, they peg them. Well, these are safe. There's nothing safe about them. So you went from a government bond that was based on the full faith and credit of the government, which isn't much, to an insurance company that basically is based on a full faith and credit in the insurance company. I mean, you know, look at AIG, one of the largest insurance companies in the world, what happened to them in 2008. So I think that we've got to be extremely cautious when we're trying to protect our money. And the only place you can do it really with as much safety as possible is going to be treasuries or, you know, CDs.
Agree.
So that's my position on it anyway, and it's probably I would paint a very a much dimmer. I could be a millionaire because I could sell a made up solution to fix all this to everybody and write a book about it and probably make $1 million, knowing all the numbers that I know. But look, I don't believe that there's any fail safe way that we can protect ourselves against it from a financial perspective. If we ever get to a place where all of that house of cards comes tumbling down, the only thing you can do to protect yourself is have a good pair of shoes, because you're going to be standing in the same soup line everybody's standing in for a very long time, and you're going to need the support. And I know that sounds really ridiculous and foolish and facetious to a certain extent, but at the same time, it's true. I mean, all these things everybody is selling, it's not going to be, they're living in a fantasy world. You're going to buy gold. Does anybody really believe, I guess, well, a lot of people do, really believe that the United States government is going to allow an alternative currency to undermine their currency that's already in the hopper? They're not going to do that. They already have a law on the books to outlaw it. So it's not going to be a useful exchange. So what you will end, not you, but people will end up doing is they're going to be selling their gold in a bad time for anybody that'll buy it, so you can get some of the worthless dollars you were trying to avoid in the first place. You're not going to go to the grocery store and slice some of it off. It's not going to happen. And I know what all the gold guys say. I understand all that. They've offered me more money than you could even imagine to get to my audience. And because they know that, you know, these conservatives, particularly Christian conservatives, you know, they're all about the gold, and they want to get to that audience. And I've they don't offer it anymore because I've turned them all down so many times. But, you know, it is just insane that that's going to be – that you're going to be able – so that what you do, instead of working every day and looking at your money, trying to save yourself from that, best thing you can do is be wise, prudent, plan as if it isn't going to happen. And if it does happen, you'll probably be in better shape if you're planning in a conservative, prudent way. And I'll tell you something. I would any day of the week rather have shares of ConocoPhillips than I would rather have a government bond if we really get in trouble. Because guess what? ConocoPhillips ain't going anywhere. You know, I'm just throwing that name out there. You know what I mean? There are big, large companies out there that are still, there's still going to be a need. There's still going to be a supply. The government, they can do whatever they want. Hmm. All right, Miles, did I depress you enough yet?
No. you told me what I needed to hear to go into U.S. Treasuries or something that's more cash, safer, or ConocoPhillips.
Yeah, I mean, go stick with big, solid companies, U.S. Treasuries. You know, you can go to treasurydirect.gov, treasurydirect.gov, open up an account. You know, you can look at buying some individual treasury bonds, CDs at your bank, and good, large cap, good, solid companies.
You have a good day, sir.
All right, brother. Thank you. I sure appreciate it. 844, and I would tell you, if you're a partner, foundational stocks, there's the ones that I have in yellow on my list. You know, they're the ones that I was talking about, good, solid companies. You know, these are companies, do they go through some rough spots? Of course they do. I got one of them that's a foundation stock getting clobbered this week. So it's okay. It's okay. They're not going anywhere, and that's what we're looking for. Folks, if you got to leave us, I got another hour left. If you got to leave us, remember, all that you have is his. Let's stand before him someday and be found a good and faithful steward. Have a great day. God bless. More financial issues right after this.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.